Exodus chapter 20, Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth, in Jesus' name. Amen. And in Exodus chapter 20, we're going to be looking at the Ten Commandments. And so we begin in verse 1. And God spoke all these words, saying, just a reminder that what's to follow is like what preceded the word of God. These are not the commandments of man. These are not the ideas of Moses or some religious sect from centuries ago. This is the word of God, and these are the commandments of God. 2. I am the Lord your God, which have brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And so God immediately reminds them that he is their deliverer, he is the one who saved them from a miserable life, and that he is their Lord, just as he was the Lord of those down in Egypt who held them captive. And so, a reminder from the very start of who he is and why he should be obeyed. And here we go, verse 3. You shall have no other gods before me. In other words, don't put anyone or anything ahead of God in your life. No one, nothing. One God. Verse 4. You shall not make unto yourself any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Now, there's nothing wrong with statues. There's nothing wrong with engravings. There's nothing wrong with pictures. There's nothing wrong with these things. They become wrong when you do verse 5. You shall not bow down yourself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them who hate me. So, images become a problem, statues become a problem when one worships them as if they were a god or even the one true God. Don't make any image that is supposedly representing Almighty God and then worship it. It's a sin. It breaks this commandment. And he continues in verse 6. Well, actually, let's read the last part of verse 5. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them who hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them who love me and keep my commandments. So God does not punish the grandchildren or the children for the sins of the fathers or the grandfathers. That's not what that's talking about. But if you hate God, just like your father hated God, or like your grandfather hated God, or your great-great-grandfather hated God, yeah, well, then you will be punished like they were. But he also shows mercy to them that love him and keep his commandments. How do you know if you love him? You keep his commandments. If you care about him, you will obey these commandments. And if you fail, maybe I should say when you fail, you'll confess. Here's another commandment. 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Don't cuss. Don't use the name Jesus as a swear word or the name God as a swear word. And also, when it says don't take God's name in vain, don't be careless when you talk about God. You shouldn't even mention the name God without reverence, without using it in a prayer, or without being reverent about it. Just be careful when you use the name God. And a lot of people take God's name in vain by saying, God told me this. God spoke to me last night. Just so carelessly, flippantly using the name God. That's taking his name in vain. Verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger that is within your gates. So the Sabbath was a law. Sabbath means rest. You take the sixth or the seventh day off, God said, and do no work at all. And we know from the New Testament that this commandment was actually fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The Bible says that Jesus has become our rest, our Sabbath. And so by receiving Christ, we cease to labor for salvation because he gives it to us as a gift. Nevertheless, the principle of taking one day off in seven is a biblical principle. And it says in verse 11, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore our God blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." I think the implication here, among other things, is that God did literally create the world in six literal 24-hour days. The Sabbath law is based on the fact that he took six literal Sabbath day, or six literal 24-hour days to create the world, and then he rested on the seventh 24-hour day. And the principle is, we are to do the same. 12, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you." And this is the first commandment with a promise, according to the Bible. Honor your father and mother. Respect the authority in the home, the authority of your parents. Children need to learn to respect their parents. Parents are required by God to teach them respect and honor. Because if they don't learn that at home, number one, they're sinning. And number two, if they don't learn to respect God-given authority at home, then they're not going to do it out in the world either, and they're going to be in a lot of trouble. But if they learn to respect authority beginning in the home, then they're going to be blessed, as God says here. 13, "You shall not kill." Literally means you shall not murder. Not all killing is sin. Policemen sometimes have to kill in order to defend society. Soldiers need to kill sometimes in order to defend the nation. And people sometimes need to kill in self-defense. It's not talking about that. Not all killing is sin. This is talking about cold-blooded, first-degree murder. 14, "You shall not commit adultery." And this is a sin where a married person has relationships, sexual relationships, with somebody else who is married. You shall not commit adultery. Next commandment, "You shall not steal." Don't take anything, any property that belongs to someone else. Don't take credit for doing something that somebody else did. Just be honest in all your dealings. Do not steal. Don't take anything from someone that belongs to them, whatever form it may take. 16, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Anytime a person purposely misleads someone, it is sin. And by the way, since we're on the subject of misleading and lying, there's no such thing as a little white lie. There's nothing little about any lie. And there's nothing white about any lie. Lying is a sin. It darkens one's soul as much as any other sin listed here in this chapter. In fact, the Bible even says that all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. That's how big that sin is. So, speaking falsely in any manner breaks this commandment. So we need to measure our words carefully and speak only what is true. Speak only what is in line with reality. Verse 17, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Let others have what they have and be content having what you have. Don't just desire what somebody else has. Just leave them be. Leave them alone. Be happy that they have something, even if you don't have it. Verse 18. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. They were scared. They saw the presence of God. They heard the presence of God. And they didn't come close to that mountain. God went down, and God told Moses to go down and tell them to stay away from the mountain. Don't come near the mountain. Don't touch it. Well, they didn't. They had such deep respect and fear for God at this point because of his presence. And believe me, the presence of God generates fear in the hearts of people. 19. And they said unto Moses, you speak with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. We can't take his voice anymore, Moses. Just please let God speak to you secretly and just pass on to us what he said, because we just can't stand this. 20. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. This was designed by God to show the people that he is God, and he is holy, and he is powerful. It was designed to refrain them from sinning. The fact that he's in their presence shouldn't terrorize them, you know, as if they've done something wrong. But it should just be a reminder to them that they shouldn't do something wrong, or they're going to have to answer to this all-powerful God. Anyway, 21. The people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. So Moses stayed in the presence of God while the people backed off. Verse 22. And the Lord said unto Moses, thus you shall say unto the children of Israel, you have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. You shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall you make unto you gods of gold. Now again, God reminds them of the second commandment, not to make any golden images, any silver, any kind of image of any god, including him. And that's what he's talking about here. You shall not make with me gods of silver or gods of gold. No image was to be made of what they thought God looked like. I mean, even if it was made out of silver or gold, it doesn't matter. God doesn't want that. And he repeats this commandment because they are prone to that. And the reason they are prone to that is because that's what they lived with down in Egypt. That's what the Egyptians did. And of course, many of you know what's going to happen in a little while. Verse 24, an altar of earth you shall make unto me, and shall sacrifice thereon your burnt offerings and your peace offerings, your sheep and your oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto you, and I will bless you. And if you will make me an altar of stone, you shall not build it of hewn stone. For if you lift up your tool upon it, you have polluted it. It was a way of saying, don't think that you can work your way into my presence. Don't think that you can do some sort of handiwork and therefore please me or impress me enough to answer your prayers. It's not about that. Don't try to approach me through your good works, is what God is saying. God wanted a plain altar to be used for worship. He did not want people's attention taken off of him during times of worship and placed on some fancy altar. You know, when something in any worship service grabs people's attention and takes it away from God, get rid of it. God, his word, his son Jesus Christ, and the cross must never be obscured by anything in a worship service. 26. Neither shall you go up by steps unto my altar, that your nakedness be not discovered thereon. Here's another important principle. People, as well as priests, wore robes in those days. and walking up steps to get to a high standing altar would expose a person's nakedness to a degree. God says, don't allow that to happen when people are supposed to be focused on me. Well, we can carry that over to today. Nothing should be done, nothing should be worn in any worship service that will draw undue attention to self. Nothing lacking modesty should ever be worn by any Christian at any time. And it's even more inappropriate to lack modesty in a church service.